Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. Today, I'm super excited. I have Michael Haig with us today. Michael, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Many people in our industry probably don't know you because you come from the Hollywood industry, and I think that's a real fun, exciting opportunity for people to find out why in the world on Funnel Hacker Radio we'd be bringing in a Hollywood superstar legend here. And I think the key is the impact of really what we want to focus this entire podcast around, and that's the importance of stories. So real quick, to give you a little background on Michael, he's been in the Hollywood scene basically over the last 35 years as a screenwriter, working as a consultant to studios, movie stars. One of the probably most well-known is Will Smith. He's helped him with a lot of the stories in the movies, as well as been a world traveling lecturer and helping people really understand the impact of stories in all frames of business. So, Michael, anything else you want to add to that introduction?
No, that's pretty much it. It was, except I'm not a screenwriter myself. I've always been on the receiving end of stories and scripts, starting out as a lowly reader, just reading a lot of bad scripts for agents and producers, and then worked my way up until I was, on the receiving end of scripts for producers and studios. And then that evolved into consulting with various, writers and producers, et cetera. And out of that grew a couple books and my lecturing career, which has been going on. And then out of that, it expanded to include storytellers in other arenas, first novelists and then what I call non-professional storytellers, meaning they're using story in other businesses. So internet marketers, attorneys, public speakers, et cetera.
Fantastic. So guys, everyone who's listening, I really want to make sure you understand the whole reason why this is such a critical part to your business. And that is, stories is what attracts people. If you've read the .com Secrets book that Russell produced last year, you've ran across the attractive character. And we're going to spend some time talking about that. Also, the idea as far as the star story solution and how that really weaves into not only your actual sales funnel, drawing people in, making them attracted to you, but then also in all of your emails. So if you don't mind, Michael, let's try to start off right with regards to the whole attractive character. Why is this so important, and how do you use it in selling product?
Well, it's critical for several reasons, but I think the number one reason is this, that for a story to be effective, first and foremost, the number one goal any storyteller has to have, I don't care if you're a movie director or screenwriter or an internet marketer or a public speaker or whatever, you must know how to elicit emotion. The reason stories are so powerful is because they get us to feel something, not just think. You can get people to think with a good story. You can move them to action. You get them to change their mind. You can get them angry. You can do all kinds of things, but you can't do any of those things if first they aren't feeling something, because stories allow us to participate in what's happening on an emotional level. And the way that participation works is the story will always have a hero, a protagonist, a main character. And if the story is well told, we meaning the reader of the story or the audience for the story, we will empathize with that character, we'll identify that character, and actually, on a psychological level, become that person. And so with a story, you can actually give your reader the emotional experience of doing what the hero of your story does. So let's say you're using it as a marketing tool. Let's say it's a success story you're telling about someone who benefited from your product or someone who benefited from your service if you're a consultant of some kind. That means when you tell a story about it, rather than just giving facts and figures about profitability, when you tell a story, the person hearing the story actually becomes the hero of that story who worked with you, and at the end of the story, they have actually had the emotional experience of using your product. So it's not a matter of persuading them to get something unknown. It's leading them to buying something they've already, in a certain way, used because they experienced it through the story you told. So if you don't have at your core that attractive character, for us to connect to, none of those other dominoes are going to fall, and you're not going to be as effective at leading us to taking the action you want us to take, meaning your buyers, your customers.
Thank you. I know a lot of people, when they're trying to put together this story, that's probably one of the most difficult things. It's kind of like, as a writer, you always have the hardest part is getting that first thought down on paper and moving forward. How do you help a person who doesn't feel like they really have that much to offer as being the hero themselves? How do you work with them to help them understand what their strengths are and also what their kryptonite is or what their power or their weakness is? What types of things have you done as you've worked with people to help them craft that type of story?
Well, first of all, I try and convince them that storytelling is not as hard as they might believe it is. I mean, I tend to think, I would guess that almost everybody listening to this podcast right now is thinking to themselves, well, you don't have to convince me that storytelling is important. What you got to do is tell me how to do it, because I don't have a clue. And especially there's this thought that I wasn't an English major. I didn't know anything about that. I barely scooted through as a sociology major, which was my major, by the way. But so I'm not this wordsmith and so on. And it's really not that. It's really about doing something you've been doing your entire life. And that is telling stories about things that happened to you or things that happened to people you knew. And so you want to get rid of this idea that you have to weave magic with words. Good sales copy, good internet marketing emails are very simple. They're easy to read. They're fun to read. They flow easily. They're just like conversational. And when it comes to telling a story about yourself, a lot of the obstacles I encounter is that writers will say, well, why would anybody want to hear a story about me? I'm nobody. I'm not a celebrity. I didn't climb Mount Everest. I didn't, you know, find a cure for some disease. So I'm just an ordinary guy. But if you think about Hollywood movies, most Hollywood movies, unless you extract out big superhero movies like the Avengers or something, are about ordinary people who are appealing or who we want to see their story, not because they were extraordinary at the beginning, but because they faced big obstacles and then found a way to overcome those. And if you're telling a story about yourself as a path to selling a service or a product, it means that you deeply believe or you have had experience with this method or service or these principles or this product that allowed you to overcome big obstacles in your life. And by using these principles, you got some place that you think your potential buyer wants to be. And that's all the story's going to be. So it's not so much about who am I or why would anybody want to hear this. It's really about what did you do to overcome a problem that other people are encountering, and how can you help show them how you were able to overcome it so that they can as well. And your product or your service is going to be the tool that enables them to do that.
Great. I know that in the weight loss industry, that's probably one of the things we see quite happen quite a bit, where a person says, you know, I was 65, 80 pounds overweight, and I came across this program, and because of that, I lost the weight, and I've kept it off for this period of time. And so that becomes they become that story. And it's the story themselves that are selling it, or it's the testimonial, and they then take that testimonial, and they use that as the person who is creating the story. Can you give me some other ideas and other niches as far as ways that other people would use that type of idea or example?
Other niches besides internet marketing? Is that what you mean, or other types of products?
Aside from like weight loss. Weight loss to me is a real easy one. I mean, what are some other types of stories you've seen in other industries?
Let me turn it back to you. Give me an example of anything that might be sold in an internet marketing arena, and I'll tell you how that would apply.
All right.
Because I bet you can't find one that wouldn't. So I'll challenge you here.
Not a problem. I think one of the easy ones probably would be on a coaching stand. So take, for example, if I want to sell a mastermind, I've got a $10,000 coaching program. I want to put 25 people in that $10,000 coaching program.
Okay. So let me take you through a few steps on how we get to what that story would be. It might be a story about you. It might be a story about someone else. But the first thing you want to ask yourself, okay, is what is the problem that this mastermind is going to solve for me? Me meaning your potential buyer, your avatar, or whatever it might be. What is the problem? Is it a mastermind about how to expand your business, how to make more money, how to invest, how to become a better athlete. That might be more a master body rather than a master mind. But you ask yourself, okay, what is the problem that I am solving for someone, or that this offer I'm making is going to solve? Because one of the things I think, and maybe everybody understands this, maybe it's apparent, is every dollar ever spent in the history of monetary exchange was spent to solve a problem. That's it. Not a single dollar changes hands, or ruble or yen or whatever it might be. It's always there's a problem. I want better food. I want to feed myself. I want to have shelter. I want to be less bored. I want to be more educated. I want to get laid. I want to find true love. I want to lose weight. I want to gain weight. I want to be strong. Whatever it might be, it's always going to be to solve a problem. So you better define very specifically what the problem is that this is going to solve. Then, when you know that, then you say, okay, how is this going to solve it? What is it that this mastermind is going to offer or provide or do? How is it going to be organized? What's going to be the content and so on that separates from other masterminds I might join that is going to help me achieve that goal, solve that problem I want to solve? Okay. And then when you know that, then you ask yourself, okay, is this something that has already existed? Can you point to a testimonial? Can you point to a success story? Well, we had 5 people last year in the mastermind, and they're all multimillionaires. Okay, if you can do that, great. You pick one of those success stories and you turn that into a story. If it's first out of the gate, if you're organizing a brand new mastermind, then what I would say is, okay, any mastermind I know is built on a set of principles, a particular approach, or it's going to attract a certain kind of person so they can be mutually helpful. So even if you haven't, if the mastermind hadn't existed, you could certainly point to other people who've succeeded using those principles, or point to the success of the other people who are going to be in the mastermind. Or if you're the leader of it, what is your experience? What has your success been using these principles with others? And now you're going to tell a story about that so that someone will say, well, gosh, if you had that kind of success with those other people, I bet you can have it in this mastermind and I get to be a part of that. So it's, and you, that would have been the same process to go through if you ask me about collecting dolls, or if you ask me about overcoming a medical condition, or if you ask me about how do you make more money as an internet marketer. It's always that same set of questions.
I love that. I think that, if people focus on the problem that's being solved, that changes everything and really helps the story really develop. So great idea. I love that.
Yeah, and there's one other reason I might add to that, and that is I said sort of at the top, the primary goal of a storyteller must be to elicit emotion, which is one of the reasons, by the way, that Hollywood serves as such a great model for story principles that apply, because Hollywood, among all other arenas in civilization, is the master at creating emotional experience. That's why Hollywood movies at the box office in any given year make about $10 billion just in the US and Canada, just in theaters. And so, and it's like 30 plus worldwide. And the reason they can reach so many people and make so much money is because they're promising an emotional experience and they're delivering it. So the reason what you just said about focusing on the problem, or that you reiterated, is because emotion grows out of conflict. It doesn't grow out of desire. If you want to lose weight, that's not really that involving. But if you want to lose, if you have tried multiple times, or you have been given a crisis status by your physician who says you lose this weight or you're not going to live more than another year, or if you're facing the obstacles that everybody faces with diets that don't work or exercise programs that don't work, it's those obstacles that have to be overcome that are going to create the emotional moments in the story. A more emotional story pulls your reader in and allows them to participate and experience those obstacles. And then if your product or your process helps your hero overcome them. Again, we're back to what I said. Now we have had the experience of overcoming obstacles we could never overcome before because you're providing us a new path, and that's what's going to get us to buy, not your statistics. I mean, statistics help. Of course, if you can say 90% of the people who did this lost this many pounds in this much time, of course, that's helpful, but it's not emotional, not the way telling a story about the obstacles that you can actually help me overcome that I've never been able to is going to be.
I love that. I love the idea as far as the emotion grows out of conflict. So how do you help a person become a better storyteller as far as to really elicit high emotion or high conflict in a short period of time, whether it's through email copy or if it's on their actual sales funnel? What are some of the keys and tricks and steps that you've used over all the decades you've been working in this industry to really elicit high emotion?
Well, as someone who works with storytellers in all these arenas, the process I use always boils down to sort of one key thing, and that is I ask a lot of questions. I ask a lot of questions that the storyteller might not be asking themselves. In fact, you saw me do it just now. I said, well, you tell me. You answer this question for me. It's like, what is the problem your product is going to solve? Who are you trying to market it to? What is it that they want to achieve? Where do they want to be that they're not right now? How do you know this is going to work? How much experience have you had? And then I also get into some deeper issues, because there's another kind of conflict besides just the external obstacles. Sure, there's exercise and so on you have to do if it's a weight loss program, or sure, there's work you have to do and things you have to learn to make money. But there's also, and this is what makes a story richer and deeper, in my opinion, there's also those internal obstacles, that inner conflict where we bump up against our own resistance and fear to actually changing. And anytime you're going to try, if you want to lose weight, it's going to require that you change. And here's the thing, nobody wants to change. None of us want to change. We may say we do. We may get up in the morning and say, I've got to change, but we don't want to. We want our circumstances to change, but we don't want to have to change. And yet that's always what's required, really, to have a transformative experience, to go from overweight to svelte or healthy or whatever you might be, to go from poor to rich. And so stories that go to that deeper level of what is the fear that you encountered on this journey you took, or what is the fear that your success story, your former client or customer encountered, when you can bring those in, it makes the story more emotional, but it also brings up obstacles that your potential buyer is going to face. And then you're bringing out in the open something that deep down they're afraid of or don't want to confront, or they're telling themselves, this is never going to work for me because I've tried before and I'm just not made up to lose weight. I've just got, you know, bad genes or big bones or whatever. But if you can tell a story that goes to that level, now it's going to be even more emotionally involving. Now, beyond the questions, then it's a matter of just laying out a certain kind of structure that a story will follow consistently to take the hero from an everyday life where they were stuck or tolerating some problem or forced to live with some problem, to all the way to the moment when their life has transformed. And that journey from lacking something to possessing something, or from being a life they didn't want into a life they did, that journey always follows basically the same path. Doesn't matter what the story's about. It's always the same journey that hero will take to achieve their goal. And so what I then do is take a client through those steps or through that process so they can identify what are those key elements to the story I want to tell. You and I were talking about the webinar that I did with Andre Chaperon. And one of the things we talked about that we took people through is I had identified 12 elements to a story that when you use those or use the ones that apply to your particular situation are going to maximize that emotional experience and maximize that effectiveness at getting people to take whatever action you want them to take. So it's just a matter of learning that sort of step-by-step structure, if you will.
Well, we don't have the time to go through all 12 of them, but do you have a few minutes you can kind of touch on a couple of them?
Yeah, I can. Let me touch on the biggies, okay? One is when you start the story, you always want to start with what I call the setup. You always want to paint a picture of or introduce us to your hero. Let me make a sidebar here so there's no confusion. A hero is, by my definition, just the main character. It's the person who's going to go on the journey. It's not someone who's heroic. It's someone who has the potential to become heroic if they can complete the journey. But it's just your man, woman, boy, girl, android who is going to pursue this particular goal and face these obstacles. So you always want to start by showing us the everyday life that the person is living before anything extraordinary happens, before they start taking action. You see this a lot already in many testimonials or autobiographical stories, because somebody will talk about how I was miserable, I was working long hours, I hated my job, I was barely making ends meet, and so on. You always want to create that picture of the everyday life in such a way that we feel sorry for the character, or the character's in jeopardy, they just got a bad diagnosis, or they're about to lose their home, or whatever it might be, so that we have a starting point. So we have a before picture, if you will. So that's one key element. Another key element is that you want that character to identify a very specific finish line they want to cross. And this is something I think oftentimes internet marketers aren't aware of or don't get specific enough about. And that is, if I tell you a story and I say, this person really wanted to be rich. Okay, well, true, that's something everybody probably does want, or most people, but it doesn't give us much of a finish line. It doesn't give us much of a brass ring to go after. But if I told you about somebody who was desperate to raise $30,000 or he was going to lose his home, or a story about someone who desperately wanted to make enough money so he could put his daughter through college, and it was this amount of money that he needed, or someone who was a diabetic but wanted to finish the Boston Marathon. Notice how those goals are very specific, and we can get a picture of what achieving those goals might be like. So the more specific, vivid, and clear that finish line is, instead of just the vague idea, I want to lose weight, I want to be happy, I want to be rich, I want to be free, the stronger the story will be. Another key element is, I think, in a well-told marketing story, is don't just say, and then this person bought my product and 6 weeks later they were skinny or 6 weeks later they were rich. Tell us what the steps are. Take us through some of the steps of your process or your product or your mastermind group or whatever it might be. Because remember, you're trying to get your buyer to experience what it would be like to use your product. And if you just say, bought the product, did a lot of cool things, and then they succeeded, that doesn't give me an experience. And you know what? I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to believe that product. Because I have no evidence. I'm just taking your word. Yeah, it's going to turn my life around. But if you take me through some of the steps and say, one of the things that the program involved was learning these recipes, or one of the things was learning this trick about building a funnel, or going to or using this device. I mean, I've seen a number of things Russell's done, and one of the things he does is it's always very specific. He doesn't just say, okay, I'm selling you this thing and I promise it's going to work. He says, what he loves to do is watch me do this. We're going to sit right down. I'm going to do it right in front of you. And I may fail and I may screw up. But the thing is, one of the reasons that's brilliant is because when he then does it, I've done it because I'm empathizing with him as the character. Now, that's not exactly a story. It's more a demonstration. Same principle. It's just that in a story, I'm imagining this. So take us through some of those beats. And similarly, and this is possibly even a scarier thing, take us through the conflict. Show some of the setbacks. Tell us about when something didn't work so well. Because if I'm being persuaded to buy something, internally, I'm saying to myself, yeah, nothing's that easy. you know, it's nothing could be that good. And it's true. There's always going to be setbacks. There's always going to be problems that come up. But if you own them, if you put them out there up front, then it's a much more credible story. And if you then tell how the hero of your story was able to overcome those obstacles using the very product you're trying to sell, now I've had the experience of overcoming the very obstacles I was anticipating were going to happen anyway, and I'm much more likely to buy. And one last one, I know we're not getting it all 12, but one more that's absolutely critical, and that is what I call the aftermath. And that is, it's kind of like, if you will, the happily ever after, but it's more detailed than just saying happily ever after. Just like you want to start the story with a before picture, a glimpse of or a portrait of the life that your hero was living before they went on the journey you took them on, we need to see a vivid portrait of the life they're now living, having completed that journey. It's not enough to say, and 6 weeks later, she tipped the scale at 115. When she weighed 200 to begin with, or whatever it was. Now, that's an image, and it is a good goal, and we cross that finish line by saying she got on the scale and this is what it read. But what we need to then know is, and now that she's lost that weight, this is what her life is like. She finds her husband pays a lot more attention to her. She finds that her coworkers look at her with more respect, or she just feels healthier, or she was now able to do things she'd never done, or she doesn't get sure. In other words, paint a picture of the new life that the hero is living because they went through this process. But here's where the critical element comes in. That aftermath, that picture you paint, has to be the life that the potential buyer you're trying to reach dreams of.
Very cool. Very cool. I love that idea. So, I mean, obviously we're running short on time here right now, but I know that when I was talking with you and Andre, as far as the webinar that you guys did, if a person wanted to kind of get a... So for those people... I really want to make sure you guys understand the importance of stories here, guys. And I would love for you to be able to understand this in a little more detail. So Michael and Andre Chaperon put together a webinar that you guys can get access to by just going to funnelhackerradio.com/story. Again, that's funnelhackerradio.com/story. And you can actually attend the webinar and go through where they actually go into greater detail about those 12 elements to a story. But Michael, real quick, as we're starting to wrap things up here, walk a person... Can you use some of the stuff you just talked about as to why a person should attend the webinar, what they'd get out of that webinar?
Yeah, well, I mean, now that I've been yammering on and yammering on, you get kind of a sense of both what my approach is and the amount of elements there are. The webinar, though, is 2 hours of content like that. So the first thing we outline is just... what is it storytelling will do for you? Why is it so important that you have that arrow in your quiver as a marketer? And then I talk about those 12 steps, but just knowing the 12 steps doesn't take it quite far enough. That doesn't actually tell you how to build the story. That tells you what the 12, it's not really steps exactly, it's 12 elements, I think, but it's all the different things that go into, like, how do you create empathy with your hero? And at what point do they start moving forward? And what is going to happen towards the end? And how do other people fit into the story, other characters or spouses or friends or critical in-laws or whatever they might be? But once you know those, it's good to have all of that information. But then you need to know, okay, how am I going to translate that knowledge into building a specific story? So what I talk about is there's also a list of key questions. As I said, I do a lot of what do you want to ask yourself about your hero of your story, whether it's you or someone who's a success story that you worked with? And what do you need to ask about those? And what do you need to ask about your potential buyer, about your avatar? What do you need to know about them? And so it's step by step how we do that. And then, of course, what we didn't really have time to do is I go through the process using Andre. I assume most of your listeners know who Andre Chaperon is. He's like, you know, major guru and a big storytelling person who created soap opera sequences and is sort of well known already for his way of using story. He's like a master of it. But I took one of his stories, so I kept using it to illustrate all these principles. But then what we did is we got someone who was a client of mine to let me use the story he originally came to me with and then the story that he ended up with after working with me, so we could actually have a before and after picture of a successful story. And on top of that, we answered a lot of questions that people had about how this is applicable. So it's really kind of a much more detailed process of, by the time you're done with this, you're actually going to know the steps in not only what you need to do, but how you actually go about step-by-step building it and giving you examples of how that's done.
That's awesome. So again, guys, that's funnelhackerradio.com/story. The whole idea of, is really why I wanted to have Michael on here is, as we start looking at a lot of people's funnels, the idea behind it is to really create a story to help people understand the emotion that's necessary to get that client or that buyer to lay down cash to purchase whatever your product might be. More important than that, though, is on the ongoing idea is we're always trying to stack these funnels on top. So you've got different funnels that you're going to be adding or building on. And the idea is a lot of that is actually done through emails and that follow-up sequence. And the idea in Russell's book, and Andre talks about it as well, and that is the whole soap opera sequence and then all the Seinfeld emails and really tying together the entire opportunity that you have to become a master storyteller to really elicit emotion to help people buy those things that you have to offer, but more importantly so that they actually use it so they become a great testimonial for you. So again, guys, that's funnelhackerradio.com/story. Michael, I greatly appreciate your time today, and any last words you want to share?
Yeah, I do, because I thought of something, and I think you mentioned it at the very top of this conversation, and I sort of took it another direction. But there is one other reason that storytelling is so important, and that is people buy from people they know and trust. And one of the strongest ways you can get connected to your potential buyers, to your followers, to your funnel, whatever way you want to put it, is by revealing more about yourself, by having an emotional experience with that person. And story is a very, very powerful way to create an emotional connection with someone that isn't going to really be there if you're spending all of your email telling me the percentage of success and the dollar amounts and the so on and so on. I'm not putting down facts and figures, but that emotional connection is also critical to your success as a marketer as much as the emotional experience of what the story is taking them through. And I think you alluded to that right at the beginning and then we got off. So I want to bring people back to that, because that's a critical element, I think, of selling in any arena, is feeling connected to the person you're buying from.
Fantastic. So again, guys, make sure you become a master storyteller. You'll see that it has a huge impact on the funnels that you're creating and also on all the email sequences that you use, which obviously all comes down to increasing your bottom line as well. So again, thank you, Michael. I greatly appreciate your time today.
And absolutely. It was fun.
All right. Thanks again, bud. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dream car and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.